Well, today we begin a new series. And the new series is called Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table. So for the next 6 weeks, we'll be diving into this new series, which means today I will be using God's Word to weave in the book's references, which we'll be talking about today. And Psalm 23, it's going to take center stage today, along with the Holy Spirit, who we know dwells in us and in this room with us today. Aren't we thankful for that? Would you guys all stand with me as we read Psalm 23 together? This is an important step that we do today. So let's go ahead and read it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, brings honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor my name by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Amen, right? That's an amen. You can sit down now. Psalm 23, well, it's pretty famous, isn't it? It is known to be the most known text. To read and imagine the shepherd walking beside you, leading you to green pastures, peaceful streams, not rough ones, but peaceful streams, guiding you on right paths, not wrong paths, and guiding you through the darkest valleys. God is in the midst of our lives, people. He's in the midst of our lives. He protects us. He comforts us. And how about this one? Are you ready for this one? Because we're going to be talking about it today. He prepares a feast for you in the presence of your enemies. The words in this psalm, is powerful. It's powerful. Have you ever read verse 5 and thought the enemy that is sitting at your table is Satan? And who invited him? That's the real question today. We know who Satan is, right? He has been referred to as the liar. He is the one who has been dressed up in camouflage to deceive his prey. He causes confusion in our thoughts. Yes, he causes great confusion. He is the great tempter. Satan dressed up as a serpent in Genesis to deceive Adam and Eve. And in God's story, this is where Satan first shows up. Today, we're going to dive into the table before us. This table will represent the feast that God has prepared for us in the presence of our enemies. God is the host of this table, and the invitation has been sent out. This invitation cost God everything, and we're going to come back to that in a bit later on. But Psalm 23 also reminds us of our shepherd, God, and how faithful and how good he is in all situations that we face in our life. The New Testament refers Jesus as the good shepherd. The psalm ends with these words, "Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." After I read this, of course, I'm sticking around. Are you sticking around? I am definitely not leaving the table. Who would want to leave the table? Well, you would think the promise of eternal life would be the hook and singer. And to live forever? Ugh. But who? Well, guess what? Not everybody is all in. Not everybody is all in. But you see, our lives are full of choices. And as humans, we are really good at not choosing the right choice. We are really good at that. We often choose the wrong option. And guess what? God isn't surprised either. Do you think God was surprised when Adam and Eve chose to eat the fruit that he specifically told them not to eat? From the tree of knowledge, from the tree of good and evil, there was fruit on those trees, and they ate from it. Of course God wasn't surprised. You see, God, our God, is a God that knows everything. He is omniscient. This is one of God's attributes. Do you think God was sad about Adam and Eve, what they did in the garden? Sure. Yeah, he was sad. However, not in the way that God created the perfect place for Adam and Eve and that they ruined the whole entire thing. No, God created everything for his glory, not for us. See, there's a big difference there. God created everything for his glory. And remember, God had a plan B, and that was Jesus, right? God is a God of redemption, and we're going to be talking about that later on as well. So Adam and Eve is the account in God's word about redemption. Redemption. So we're going to be in Genesis 3 for a little bit. So if you have your Bibles nearby, you may want to grab them. We're going to dive into this for a little bit and talk about it. Do you think Adam and Eve had some inside struggles going on when and after they ate that fruit? Do you think they knew instantly that they had done something wrong? Do you think they were getting a bit anxious? Yeah, they were. They hid from God. They heard him walking around the garden. You see, shame set in and fear set in and knowledge that they were naked now set in as well. They didn't want God to find them, but then God called out to them and they answered. In verse 9, check this out. Then the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" Verse 10, he replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." Adam and Eve let the enemy at the seat of their table that day in the garden. I have a question for us to reflect on. Have you ever experienced tense circumstances where you were feeling a bit anxious and you were feeling a bit under attack? Have you ever felt that? When we are in these kind of battles, we want to swing. We want to feel like we are in control. And we oftentimes aren't in control. And oftentimes we want to give up. These circumstances sometimes can be labeled as us being hurt, abandoned, falsely attacked, and even tempted at times. Just like Adam and Eve, right? Fear was rushing through their inner being. When we allow these thoughts to enter our mind, Satan has a seat at our table. So how do we control these thoughts? How do we control them? I've got a couple of resources for you to think about. Number one is scripture. We can use scripture as a resource to control our circumstances. And I think personally, Psalm 23 is the absolutely perfect scripture to use. You can meditate on this verse. And often people use the word meditate. But do we really truly understand it? The definition of meditation is to engage in thought or contemplation and reflect. So reflection time. So reflecting on Psalm 23. We often use the word shepherd to redirect our thoughts. I use that. I use the word shepherd to redirect my thoughts when I need to refocus, when I need to redirect myself, when I'm in my quiet time or when I'm in my silent time with God. Sure, my thoughts start swirling, but I use the word shepherd to redirect myself. Meditating on Psalm 23 is great scripture to read. And even when you're reading it, you can also use, you can also draw about the psalm. You can draw a picture of what comes to mind as you're reading it. Psalm 23 is a great scripture. There's a lot of other really great scriptures out there as well. The Royal Law is another really great one. Love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor. What does that look like? Drawing is another option. Number two, have an understanding that Satan is the liar. Stay in the truth. Know the truth of your circumstances. Have an understanding that you can't solve your problems. Give up the control. Oh gosh, we're so good at wanting to hold on control. Give it up. Control can get us in real trouble. God made us to know who we are. He tells us that in His Word that we are His children. His children. Walk in the light, knowing it is through Jesus' blood all sin is forgiven. He wipes us as white as snow, Scripture tells us. You see, He doesn't hold on to those old sins. He wipes them away, never to resurface again in His mind. You have a choice to live in the truth. Choose truth all day long, because the liar, Satan, he wants to keep you in his control. It is his job to keep you in bondage. Knowing God has a purpose for you will get you out of that bondage. It will break the chains of it. You see, God is in the business of being a chain breaker. You see, God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose to prosper you. He has a purpose for you. And don't forget that. These are just a couple of examples of how to win the battle of your mind. Let's draw our attention back to the table that God has prepared us for. When you think about it, oftentimes we get sometimes a physical invitation, a piece of paper, or we get a verbal invitation to come on over for dinner. As I mentioned earlier, that this invitation that God has offered has cost Him everything, meaning we didn't get to the table without the sacrifice of what Jesus did on the cross. God's only begotten Son died on the cross for each and every one of us. Why? For our sins. Remember, we are born with original sin, which goes back to Adam and Eve. And remember, God is in the business of redemption. Okay? So, just so we're on the same page of redemption, I want to summarize what redemption is. And I found this really great summary from the New Dictionary of Bible Theology. So, it states, and I'm going to put it up on the screen here for you. Theologically, redemption flows from the Old Testament to the New Testament as Redeemer. God's lovely demonstrates this in the book of Exodus, requires it in the law, and consummates it in Christ. Its sub-themes are rescue from harm, freedom from tyranny, and the forgiveness of sin. An unbelievable joy. Yes, the joy of our salvation. Paradoxically, it frees slaves of sin to make them slaves of God. But in the end, the slaves become God's adopted children for all eternity. This is indeed a wonderful story. It's a wonderful story. We are adopted and we are children of God. And this comes from Romans 8, verse 15. Let's read this together. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's Spirit when He adopts you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, we must also share in His suffering. And we know while we are here on earth, there is suffering and there are trials to go through. And Jesus, He suffered at the cross too. The table is set before us and there are two seats, one for God. He is the King sitting at the head of the table. And the other seat is for you. So where is all the other seats for the enemies? You see, it's all around. But God puts us in the center of all of it. Whenever we go through these times, these trials, and they may look like trials of pain and suffering. It may look like times of stress. Maybe you're struggling with substance abuse. Maybe illness like cancer or pain that never goes away in your body. Just everyday kind of situations. This past year and a half, it's been hard for a lot of people. It's been really hard. When God sits down, you see, He pours a glass of water for you. He breaks the bread and hands you a slice. He asks you, "Are you thirsty? Are you hungry?" God simply wants to talk with you. He wants to sit at the table with you. Are you going to make time for Him? Are you going to sit with Him? He invites you. He wants to talk with you. You see, we kind of have this conversation on our heads oftentimes. I should have, I could have. But really what we need is I want, right? I want to go sit with Jesus. When we put the thoughts of should've in us, then most likely it doesn't happen. And then we are stressed about what we didn't do, right? Change your thought to, I want to go sit with the Father. I want Him to pour me a glass of water. I want Him to break the bread. I want to talk with Him today. I want to share with Him what's going on. I want to talk and I want to be with my Abba Father today. There's a spot for you at the table. Think of Zacchaeus, right? In the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, Jesus had dinner with a tax collector of all people. Jesus just didn't come down to have dinner with Zacchaeus. He probably wanted to pour him a glass of water. He probably broke the bread for him. He probably actually went to the barrel where the water was and scooped it out for him and Zacchaeus, to tell you the truth. That's just how Jesus is. You see, Jesus had compassion for Zacchaeus that day in his house. He wanted to have a conversation with Zacchaeus. He wanted to know what was going on in Zacchaeus's life. And Zacchaeus shared. And you know what? He had to share about the shame, and he had to share about the sin that was in his life. You see, Zacchaeus was known as a person that stole money from other people, their tax money. He was not a nice person in town. But you see, Jesus was there not only to have dinner with Zacchaeus. Jesus was there to bring salvation, redemption into that house. And you know what? By the time Jesus walked out that night, salvation came to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus got to meet his Savior that night. That's right. Zacchaeus turned and asked Jesus to forgive him of sin. And Jesus, in return, forgave him of his sins. And Zacchaeus became a follower of Jesus that day. Jesus listened and he forgave. And when you're sitting at the table, he's ready to listen to you and he's ready to forgive too. This year, God healed a man that I had met once, and his name is Hal Perkins. He's a pastor in the Nazarene denomination. And Hal Perkins contacted COVID-19. It was not looking good for Hal. He was on high levels of oxygen, and his lungs were not looking good. But his testimony is pretty powerful today, because you see, Jesus healed Hal. And today, Hal is recovered from COVID-19. But there was a lot of prayers and there was a lot of sitting at the table with Jesus during those days. God did a mighty thing and healed Hal. God is in the business of healing. Are you in need of healing? Do you need to sit at the table with Jesus and talk to him? God is also in the business of transformation. Transformation means change, right? And in Romans 12:2, Paul talks to the people and shares with the people in Rome. He says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. It's good and pleasing and perfect," right? Perfect. I have witnessed this in other people, and I have witnessed God transform my own life. When God is working through us and changing us to reflect us towards the image of Christ, there is benefit for others in this. You see, because of the transformational power that God does in and through us, we become a reflection of God's image. And then we begin sharing who Jesus is to others. So you see, it's the benefit of others. For us knowing Christ, we can share then with others who Christ is. God wants us to reconcile the loss unto him. He lays this out very specifically in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. He says, "And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to Him. Freedom comes when we don't give the enemy a chance to get to the table. Louis Giglio, the author of the book, says, "It doesn't matter what's on the table, but who's at the table. The King Almighty is sitting at the table. Come join Him. His ears are wide open. He is full of forgiveness and full of compassion and full of unfailing love for you." You see, we can claim victory for what Jesus did for us on the cross. This is one of the last Bible verses I want to share with you guys. It comes from the book of John, chapter 10, verses 4 through 18. And would you join me as I read it aloud? Let's read this together. This is another great reference of the Good Shepherd. "I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own account. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." John 10, verses 14 through 18. Jesus made the choice. He chose you and everyone. Now it's time for you to choose Him. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 13, Paul lays it out really easily. He says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Will be saved. You see, Lord meaning Christ. And you see, there's only one way, and that is through Christ, God's only begotten Son. On the screen, you're going to see Psalm 23. And this version is a little bit different than what you've probably read. It comes from today's English version. And there are some blank lines in there. I want you to begin to insert your name and read Psalm 23 with your name in it. I'm also going to put a link up on the screen for you to download today's talk sheet. And during this time, go through the questions, go through the verses again, and have a conversation. It's been a great day talking about the table before us. Before I end, I'd like to pray with all of us to close and thank God for being with us and having this time to talk about Psalm 23. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for being with us. Thank you, God, for working in and through our thoughts, Lord. Thank you for the imagery, Lord, of being able to, of you walking beside us, guiding us to green pastures, walking us to quiet waters, walking us, Lord, and protecting us and bringing us comfort, Lord, and sitting at the table with us, Lord. God, I just pray that you would begin to do a mighty work in our thoughts. And Lord, that we would be able to give up the control and give it to you. Lord, I know that that's a big step and it's hard to give up control. But we know that it's an important step, Lord, because all the worries of today doesn't gain us an extra day, your word says, Lord. And so, God, we're going to walk in faith, trusting in you and loving you through this journey. And Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing. We give you praise and honor today. In your holy name we pray. Amen.